Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hey, 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 everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the So Mindful podcast. At the time of recording, I just received notification that we have reached the milestone of 10,000 downloads, which is just fabulous. And I wanted once again to give you all a huge thank you for listening and for your support and the wonderful messages and feedback that I receive. I really appreciate you all listening in. And so before I get emotional, let's get into this week's topic. So I'm here solo today, and today I wanted to share with you how I planned the garments that I'm going to make to kick off the year. Some of you may already have your plans in place, but just in case you don't, I thought I'd share the steps that I followed to create my most recent plan to help and inspire you to create your own. I did share more details of my plan for the My Body Model blog, and so I'll put a link in the show notes to that so that you can read that at your leisure. But before I get into that detail, I wanted to give you some context as to how and why my approach has evolved. And maybe if you struggle to plan your own makes or not known how to get started, it might give you some ideas to help identify what may be getting in the way. So since leaving corporate life, I have really struggled to find a style that I love. I know that when I see it, I'll know what it is, but at the moment, I'm really not sure. And all I do know is that I'm not there yet. So what's changed? Well, I've realised over the years that I'm the kind of person that likes to know what the rules are. I think that might have come from my childhood. My dad was quite strict, and if and when my sister and I broke the rules, we were shouted at and then we'd get the silent treatment. I think as a child, we associate being loved with attention and signs of affection. So when the attention or affection is withheld, then as a child, I think I began to interpret that as not being loved. So I began to associate the consequence of breaking the rules with losing love or no longer being loved. As a child, I accepted that if I knew the rules and broke them, then I would be punished, and I was fine with that. But where I came unstuck was that sometimes I seemed to be punished for breaking rules that I didn't even know existed. Now, as an adult, I realise, and any parents listening will probably also agree, that sometimes you have to make the rules up as you go along, and I'm sure that's what my parents had to do too. So fast forwarding to today, what I've spotted is that when I know the rules of the situation or the circumstance, I feel safe and confident. But when I don't, I feel all at sea, lost, and at risk of no longer being loved. Okay, I know that sounds a bit melodramatic when I say it out loud, but bear with me and I'll explain why I'm sharing all of this with you. When I was working in corporate life, I understood the rules for what to wear. I used my style to support the career I wanted. I liked wearing smart and quite formal clothes. I was comfortable that I knew the environment and the people, and in the early part of my working life, there were also more defined fashion trends, as what we wore was mainly determined by what you could buy in the shops, of which there were fewer choices. So I could adapt what I wore to help me fit in with those around me and the rules that I felt I understood. But today my life's very different. I'm self-employed and my office is my home. This means I don't have any fashion cues from those around me. It also means a significant change to my footwear. I used to walk to and from the tram, then sit most of the day at a desk in the office with short walks to meeting rooms. And that meant high heels, which I love, were great as they felt smart, they were comfortable, as there wasn't too much walking around. These days, I'm trying to do 8,000 steps a day to get me out in the fresh air. I find myself walking more with friends, and I'm hardly using my car or the tram. That means outfits need to work with flatter shoes and boots that are more comfortable for walking. And surprisingly, that's also changed my posture when I'm wearing them, which means outfits that felt great with high heels feel quite frumpy with flat shoes or trainers. The other significant change is there's no longer a single fashion. So it used to be like in the 60s it was miniskirts, in the 70s it was flares, in the 80s, I don't really know how you classify that style, big shoulder pads maybe, and quite loose clothing. But as we got introduced to fast fashion and more opportunities, then there isn't really a single fashion anymore. You can wear whatever you like and there's a huge amount of choice. Whilst this is fabulous in some ways, for me it's a real challenge because I no longer understand the rules. I also found out recently that based on my personality type, I like to use what I'm wearing to connect with those around me. I'm a people person, and I choose what I'm going to wear to help me connect with the people I'm going to meet. This might sound alien to some of you, but one of the considerations for me that until recently I was not conscious of is that before I choose what to wear, I'll think about who I'm going to see that day or meet or be with and what they might be wearing, whether it's smart, whether it's going to be casual, whether there are particular styles or particular themes, and I'll match my outfit to connect with theirs. I was doing this subconsciously, but it's been more recently pointed out to me and now I'm really aware of it. Well, as you can imagine, that was so much easier when there were fewer fashion choices. But also these days, I'm not always meeting other people. And even when I do, it's in a virtual environment. And so that's made making these choices seem much, much harder. And so the outcome of all that is that now I'm in the process of defining my own rules. I need to plan ahead because I don't really buy many clothes anymore as I prefer to make them. So I want to think ahead about what I want to make and what I need because it takes a bit longer than just ordering an outfit from the internet. I also want to make getting dressed quicker and easier because at the moment it takes me quite a lot of time and energy to decide what I'm going to wear. I'll often stand deliberating in front of the wardrobe, probably for anything up to half an hour, trying different things on or thinking about different combinations, and I'll end up maybe getting changed a couple of times in the day to suit what it is that I need to be doing, my activities and so on. Because I haven't really got the right clothes, I don't really have yet the right things in my wardrobe to meet all of my requirements, and I'm working on that and that's fine. So now I've decided that planning my makes is the way to go, and I want to create garments that I know will go together and look great. I like things to coordinate and I'm in total awe of people who don't need that, but for me it's really important. And that means it really helps if I have garments that I know work well together, so I can grab and go without lots of thought and deliberation. And lots of trying on and taking off. So my planning process has evolved into planning outfits and small collections rather than individual garments. This has allowed me to experiment more at the designing stage and planning stage and come out with garments that work with a number of outfits which I didn't previously have. I have a lot of individual pieces that look great in their own right, and that's why I used to tend a lot more towards dresses, because a dress is an outfit all in itself and I don't have to match it with anything else. But then if I want to put a jacket or layer it up, then I found that I didn't have the right jacket or the right cardigan or the right scarf or whatever it might be to go with it. So now I'm trying to change all of that. And so I've developed the plan of bringing my makes together. So how do I go about it? Well, there are 7 key steps. When I did this recently, I thought I'd go back and analyse what did I do so I could share that with you. So in the blog that I did for my body model, I ended up having to create a plan for the outfits that I'm going to make for the start of the year. And so I had to work out a number of different things, and this is the process that I went through. So there are 7 steps to the process. So in summary, the first step is to define the function. The second is to pick the styles. The third is to look at the colours. The fourth is to do some preparation. The fifth is to make the plan for constructing the garments. The sixth is to construct the garments. And the seventh is to do a review. So I'm just going to chat you through each of those steps really briefly, and then I'm going to share with you some of the tools that I use for doing some of these activities. So in the first step, defining the function. So this is about defining what I really need or want based on what I already have and where the gaps are in my current clothing collection. So there are a number of things that I take into consideration. So the first is, what part of my lifestyle or function do I want these garments to work for? So if I'm designing a collection now, it might be like a mini collection, and it doesn't mean I won't make one-off pieces, but if I'm trying to put a few garments together, then I'll try and do them for a particular aspect of my lifestyle. So one of the gaps I have at the moment is that I like to do a lot of lives and online recording and things like that. And when I'm doing those kind of things, I like to wear something that I've made. But it needs to be quite smart, it can't be too casual. I want to show off what I'm doing and be comfortable in what I'm confident in what I'm doing. And so that's kind of what I would call like my sort of work wear, if you like. And for those kind of outfits, I'm also thinking about when I'm going to be wearing it. So at the moment, we're in the winter in the UK, so I'm thinking about the season and the weather, and am I going to have to layer up, or do I want it to be a bit cooler? And so for the moment,
I'm trying to think of pieces that I can use different layers. So maybe I can still wear short sleeve tops or dresses, but I'm gonna need some kind of cardigan or jacket to go over the top of it. And so I've got those things in mind as I then move on to the next stages. I also want to think about the key features of the garments. So for when I'm working at home, they still need to be relatively comfortable, but they also need to look quite smart. And so that's one of the things I'll be thinking about when I come to choose the colours and the patterns and the styles and the fabric. I also like to think about the footwear that I'm going to wear or any outerwear constraints. So some of the jackets that I have, I like to wear quite long, but some of the coats I have are quite short. And so sometimes I'm going to be putting a jacket on when I'm inside, like a long cardigan or something like that, but then I have to keep getting changed when I want to go outside because I have to swap one out and put one on because the long cardigan doesn't go with the shorter coat and all that kind of thing. So I'm starting now to think about, okay, more than just the outfit that I'm going to wear in the day, also what coat am I going to wear with that if I have to leave the house, or what shoes or, footwear am I going to wear with that as well. So there were some features that I was thinking about for this collection that I've done for the start of the year. So I wanted them to be relatively smart. I needed them to layer up because they're going to have to take me through to the spring. So it might be kind of shorter sleeves, but with some kind of light little comfortable jacket. The jacket lengths I need to have a think about because I've got a few longer coats that work, but I need to, just make sure I've got that combination. And in terms of footwear, when I'm going out at the moment, I'm not usually going out in my workwear. I'm usually going out to kind of meet friends and socialise. So I wouldn't necessarily be wearing all of these garments in that situation. So I can wear them with my heeled boots, or and it is cold at the moment, so I'm not going to be wearing things like sandals and flip-flops. And so they need to work with those kind of shoes. And possibly I've got the benefit that I can wear thick tights as well. So that gives me some options in terms of skirt lengths and things like that that I can use when I'm thinking about my designs. So the other thing that I wanted to think about was some existing garments. So again, this is in my situation, but for you might not want to have to plan to make everything. And you might have three or four pieces in your wardrobe that you think, actually, I want to create something that's going to incorporate these three or four pieces. So I only want to make maybe two or three or four pieces, and therefore to make a kind of combination, let's pick another few that I already own that I can build into this collection. And so pick those things out or think of those bits first. And then you can look for the patterns that fill the gaps with those. So for me, to make trousers takes a bit more time because trying to get those to fit is a bit longer, and I don't have a lot of time to do twirls at the moment. So I've tended to avoid including trousers. I made that mistake in my autumn collection and then I never got around to making them. So this time around, I learned that probably making trousers isn't an option. So I just chose to include a pair of jeggings that are ready to wear that I already have. And equally, you could say, well, I don't think I'm skilled enough, maybe, or experienced or confident enough to make a particular type of garment. So you might bring a ready-to-wear item in and kind of include that in your collection. And that really took the pressure off me in this example because it allowed me to focus on the tops and jackets that I wanted to create without feeling like, oh, I've got to spend a lot of time, working out what trousers and things, because they just, for me, that is a bit more time consuming. And it's not that I'm not going to do it, it's just that it isn't for the start of the year. So again, thinking about some of those things, where are the gaps and what do you really miss? If you go to your wardrobe in the morning and you've kind of got a particular day ahead of you and you go to reach for something but can't find exactly what you want, pay attention to those thoughts. What is it that's going through your mind? What would be the ideal garment? Where is the gap? Or if you go to reach for something and then think, oh yeah, yes, but that garment, I'd like to wear that, but it's got short sleeves, or I'd like to wear that, but it doesn't go with the shoes I've got. Start to think about and kind of pay attention to some of those thoughts as well, because then you can start to refine what you include in your collection to fill some of those gaps or to answer some of those questions. Make sure you take those things into consideration. So I do think it's really helpful to review your current wardrobe and to just over the next few days, just think as you go to the wardrobe, in my ideal wardrobe, if I opened it now, this is exactly what I'd like to see, and what's missing. Or why isn't this garment ideal? What would you change about it? And make a note of that somewhere, sort of in your planning, in your planner or whatever it is you want to do, and just use that then when you sort of feed into the next stage about choosing your styles. Okay, so the next stage then is to look at different styles. And so at this point, I'm usually collecting different patterns. So for me, if I'm going to put a collection together, then I've identified by now which garments I need. So whether I need tops or bottoms, what kind of bottoms, if I want, you know, trousers or skirts, long or short skirts. And when I was at college, what they talked about when they were designing a collection was thinking about different silhouettes. So when you're creating a mini collection, maybe not making all the skirt lengths the same, but looking at giving you a different profile. So you might have one shorter skirt, one longer skirt, one pair of trousers. So then when you combine them with the different tops, you get a completely different look rather than just a black version of this skirt, a white version of this skirt, and a red version of this skirt. So, and that the silhouette always looks the same. So, or maybe it's a straight version and a flared version, or maybe it's, you know, some other kind of iteration, or a jacket that's got a collar versus a jacket that's not got a collar. So you might kind of, or long and short jackets, or long sleeve and short sleeves, or, you know, so think about for each garment that you're choosing and the variation of the design detail, maybe for each one, try and have a different sleeve length, or try and have a different finished length, or try and have a different detail, like a collar or a pocket or something like that, for the same types of garments. So for your tops, make sure you've got a combination, maybe different necklines, or, you know, that kind of thing. So that will really help you get build up a wardrobe that doesn't look very samey. You know, you can then feel quite different in the outfits that you're wearing, and they'll look quite different when you create them. So I tend to collect patterns together that I really want to make. And so I've mentioned this before in a few of the areas, but and I'm going to talk about this a bit later, but I use Trello for that. And so I put all my patterns in there, and then I'll pick a selection that I'm thinking of working with, and I'll have more than I need, and then I'll kind of refine that down. And I'll play with the combinations, and I use some styles we'll talk about. So I use the croquis from My Body Model, and then I either sketch on those. I tend to do mine digitally, but you could just draw, you know, you can kind of trace them and draw them and that kind of thing, and just start to play with how those different pieces go together. I look at different lengths, different features. I also think about different fabrics, so you're going to get different textures. And I'll usually try and pick a combination in my fabrics of maybe some stretch and non-stretch patterns there to give me a bit of variety. Maybe some things that are perhaps a little bit more structured or not structured, you know, so it depends on the look that you're going for. I also take into consideration, are there patterns that I've made before that have worked really well, or is everything new and I'm going to need to make some kind of toile? Because that will determine in the planning stage, you know, how much time it's going to take me and the kind of priorities around that. So as I've started to make more garments, I'm getting some like go-to patterns that I can just kind of include in there that I know will be quite quick makes to get me started. And then I'll also include some that I've never made before so I can experiment with those. So we'll talk about that in the prep and the planning stage. So then stage three is to start to look at colour palettes. So when I was doing this time, I picked out probably about 8 colours that I really wanted. I picked some neutrals. I used a formula from a video, a capsule wardrobe video that Imogen Lamport had done for this collection. And I'd analysed how she'd put the capsule together just to give me some, you know, I said earlier, I like a rule. So just to give me some rules to start to follow, and then I could break them when it didn't suit me. But at least it gave me a starting point. It gave my head that kind of structure that it needed so that then my creativity could feel confident enough to express itself. And so in doing that, I ended up with some neutrals, a couple of neutrals, ended up with some accent colours and some colours that were picking out and picked some colours from my own features. So I used a salmon pink that's kind of similar to my lip colour. I love jades and teals, so I included those colours. Because I wanted to include the jeggings, I included blues, like a navy blue. I did originally plan to do brown to make some brown trousers, but like I say, when I kind of thought about my time and how much time I had available, I scrapped that idea and swapped it for the jeggings. So yeah, that meant I had to change some of the colours of some of the other items. And so I changed it to a navy from the brown for my neutral. And then I also used, I'm just looking at the colours now, so I also included a red because I had some red fabric that I wanted to make up. And so I thought, is there a way I can kind of shoehorn that in? And so then I just experimented with those. I think there's about 8 colours altogether. It included a mustard, which I ended up taking out. It included a mahogany colour, which I ended up taking out. And I ended up with a navy blue, like a kind of a creamy color, a turquoise color, a coral color, a teal, and a tomato red. And that they were my kind of five, the sort of five colors that, or five or six colors that I ended up with. So, and then from that, I created the whole collection. But if you're not sure about color combinations, so I'm kind of quite in the autumn range of colors, and there's quite a lot of color palettes online that you can go to give you an inspiration. But one thing I would say is don't work with too many. And what I found with this collection was I really wanted to experiment with repeating the same color for different garments, and that way then I could kind of mix and match those together, because I found by accident that with stuff that I already had in my wardrobe, I really liked it when I wore like two things that were the same color, because and then one accent or something like that, and I just really like that style. So pay attention to what you're wearing and what you feel comfortable in, and try and think about, how are these colors combining? What is it about the colors in these different garments that I really like? Because then you can use that to inform how you apply that to your collection. But equally, I spent quite a lot of time actually just swapping and changing, trying different colors on the top and the bottom, trying the same pattern with all the different shades and working out, how many things would that go with, and just to kind of get the optimum amount of that. So the color bit, it was really fun, and I think I hadn't really played with color in that way, but it did give me a new understanding of actually what I really like and what works for me from my existing wardrobe. And then also the things that I really like, but I never wear, so, and I was thinking about, what is it that I don't wear about those? So, and I've not really put hardly any patterns in this one at all. I've gone mostly plain with a bit of texture, which is quite different for me. Normally it's all patterns and dresses and stuff like that. So this is quite a, so we'll see how this one turns out. Okay, so the next thing then is the preparation. And so the preparation now really for me is, this is kind of like the preparation to making really, I guess. So this is refining the final collection. So this might be tweaking some of the colors, tweaking some of the patterns, ordering some fabric samples. One of the things I got caught out with my autumn designs was that I designed some things, but when I came to try and find the fabrics, I couldn't find what I was looking for in either the, I wanted a woven, but I could only find that color in a knit, or, some of those things. So maybe ordering your fabric samples earlier than I did, and it just gives you some sense of whether you can find the things that are in your collection. Also making some twirls. So again, from my autumn collection, what I found was I'd put a pattern in there that I kind of had a sense wasn't really going to work for me, but I really wanted to try something new. So it was the Emmy top from Seamwork, and I love the style of it. It's kind of like a peasant top with like a kind of ruched neckline. And quite loose, quite big sleeves. I like a big sleeve, but there's not much shape to it, and that's lovely, but it's not really me. And so when I made the twirl, I ended up actually not making the garment, because I couldn't work out how to feel good in it. I think that's probably the long and the short of it. So I adapted that, and in the end, I ended up making the Crystal Cove cami from Itch to Stitch in like a satin, like a cream satin. And I'm going to be doing a review on that shortly, so keep your eyes on the website for that. But yeah, so you can kind of mix it up even once you've made your designs. Nothing's set in stone, is it? So you can kind of decide. But making twirls kind of earlier in the process will help you refine your designs and, get some ideas. So this is all kind of part of what I say is the prep stage before you get into planning the final makes. And so in the final plan then, I have a document that I've created, and I also use Trello for this as well, where I go through some stages of the planning what I'm going to make. So ordering the fabric, working out what pattern size I'm going to use, preparing the pattern, making sure that's all ready to go. And then planning out, if I need any adjustments from the twirl, so I'll tend to put those onto my plan. So I include all of those in my document kind of after I've done my twirl, really, and just make sure I've got all the information that I need and I'm happy with that and ready to go. And then once I've got those, some of the things that I'm looking for are things like, does it need a twirl or have I made one before? So some of the makes that I'll tend to prioritize are the ones in stage six that I'm going to make, where are the ones where I've either made them before and I know I haven't got to do a lot of work. I've literally just got to put the pattern on, cut it out, make it up, because I like to get those quick wins in. I like to tick the boxes and do that. So for me, having a few patterns like that where they're kind of my go-tos, then I'll get those in early. And then, you know, seeing some of the other ones, so the more complicated garments, I might leave a little bit later or slot bits of those in, you know, do a little bit of work on it and then develop that. So again, I can share with you the kind of planning template that I use. It's really simple, but it just allows me to keep a track of the changes that I make to the design or to the fitting, that kind of thing. It also double checks that I've reapplied any modifications from the toile back to the pattern, because I've been guilty of not doing that before. So I've made the adjustments and then something else has come up and I've not ended up putting them back on the pattern, then I've gone to cut it out and it's not the right version, and so on and so forth. So quite useful for that. And then the final step seven is to do a review. So after you've made your collection, or after you've made even a few items within the collection, each pattern, just do a quick review and make some notes on your pattern project plan that tell you, you know, how did it go? Did you like it? Would you make any changes next time? Would you ever do it again? Would you not do it again? You know, review each pattern, then you can start to get a sense of whether, you know, which ones are working for you, which ones aren't. Because the first time you make any garment, I don't think it's ever going to be the best time. You might fall lucky, but it's not the norm. And I think that if you can make a garment a few times, in my experience, definitely for me, I've just connected a bit more with the pattern. I've understood it a bit better the next time. I've maybe chosen a better fabric, or I might have made a few modifications that are my style. I can add my style to it rather than it just being straight from the pattern. So, but I remember watching a film once of a young guy who wanted to learn to play jazz, and his teacher just kept saying to him, just play this same, I can't remember what it was, like Little Brown Jug, I think it was. Play Little Brown Jug over and over again till you really know it. And the guy's like, yeah, but I want to learn jazz. And he's saying, no, just play that tune. So he played it and played it weeks, and then over that time he really got comfortable with the tune, to the point where the jazz just came. I can't explain it any better than that. And I think that's the thing with working with new patterns, is that the first time, you know, you're all a bit self-conscious, you're kind of, you know, just sort of getting to know it, it's all a bit stilted. The second time you make it, you're a bit more comfortable, you're a bit more confident. The third time, you really know that pattern and you know where you can go with it, and you can start to think of ideas where you can customize it and you can make it into your own. So don't, you know, I used to think I had to keep making new things, making new patterns, but I think really now I'm focusing on creating some really good foundation pieces and then turning them into my own style and adding the bells and whistles after that. So that's kind of that's why I'm focusing quite a lot on reviewing what I've made with a mind to, you know, making that better, you know, making that better next time and improving on it. Okay, so some of the tools that I use. So at the early stages, I'll often use Pinterest and Google. I use those as my inspiration for my outfits. We've talked about that in some of the other podcasts earlier as well. I tend to look also for pattern reviews and things like that. So when I get to the pattern stage, before I choose a pattern, I'll go and look to see who's made it and what it looks like on them and what fabrics they used and how it's, you know, how it's turned out, whether it fits well or if there's any issues with it. And that either makes me add it in or take it out. And I might see things in there that I hadn't thought of, or, you know, so it's always really good to do that. I'll go and use Pinterest for colour palettes to get a sense of how to put colours together and what combinations look really good. But you can use all kinds of things for that, you know, anything. We've talked about that again, I think probably a couple of weeks ago with Lisa Newport, you know, where we talked about using, you know, any a picture, you know, a scene, anything around you to give you the combinations. And then I'll also use it to get technical drawings for some of the ready-to-wear items. So Pinterest is great. If you type in, you know, technical drawing for jeggings, then it will come up with a picture of somebody, a hand-drawn pair of jeggings. And I use those then to trace over in Adobe Illustrator to be able to create my, you know, to do my planning and to play around with those. So it can be great for things like ready-to-wear items. On the patterns themselves, they often have the technical drawing, but if you want to include something that you've already got, or you've already, you know, you've previously made, then you can use it for that. So yeah, I also use email shots from pattern designers. So I'm on a lot of those kind of mailing lists. I'm always interested in what's coming out and what's trending and those kind of things. So I'll sometimes be adding those into my ideas list as they come out. And also from fabric companies. So quite a lot of the fabric companies, you know, do combinations. So they'll show you the pattern and the fabric that it will go with. And that's really helpful for me to think about, you know, what it's going to look like with that particular style. You know, and they tend to be linked to blogs as well, which is great. I mentioned about Trello, so I use Trello to store all my patterns in terms of, you know, pictures of the images. If you haven't used Trello before, it's like a kind of digital post-it note collector, and you can put pictures of your patterns in there onto different cards, but then you can click onto those and you can add loads more detail, and that includes things like the type of fabric, what type of garment it is. I've added checklists to mine. And if you're interested, I've created a template in Trello, my dressmaking project planner, which I'll share with you. And it's created as a template, and you can copy that template into your Trello as a board, and it will show you some examples of what I've done with the patterns and how to put them into collections and that kind of thing. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I absolutely love it. It's so visual, it's easy to move about with, and you can also keep a track of your makes in there. So I've put some example checklists in there as well, so you can see how you might use that. It's also great for storing the patterns of your finished garments. So I tend to, once I've done them, I'll tend to put them in there. And then if I remake that pattern, I can remember, oh yeah, I did it with this fabric before, or that kind of thing. I use Adobe Illustrator and My Body Model Croquis, which I've mentioned earlier. And these are kind of key for me for designing. So I'm just looking at my designs now, and you know, they're easy to work with. They're just a nice proportion, you know, to kind of give you a real sense of how it's going to look in the finished garment. I like Adobe Illustrator, but I appreciate it is expensive and it takes a bit of a learning curve to use it. But even if you just hand sketch, or you know, start to draw, or there are some apps, you know, drawing apps on things like iPads and stuff like that, there's quite a lot of resources on the My Body Model site on learning to draw. But even just tracing something off over the pattern and sticking it over a photo of yourself, you know, just cut it out, you use it, kind of paper doll it. That's the beauty of it. And honestly, you will learn so much just by doing that and just playing, you know, with different shapes and different silhouettes. I really, really recommend if you're kind of a bit nervous about doing it, just give it a go. Honestly, it's made a world of difference to me, and it really has improved the combinations of garments that I'm making. I'd say that's the one big thing. I also use fabric swatches. So I have my own swatch library that I've kind of created over a period of time. So each time I order a swatch, I'll make a note of the details of it, and then when it arrives I stick it into my folder so that I can then go back if I think, oh, I, you know, I want to find a different weight of jersey, I'll kind of make all the details, and so I'll know, oh yeah, that feels good, what's the details of that, and then I can search for that again. So keep your swatches, you know, whenever you order anything, and do order swatches. I think it's really it's so helpful to avoid buying duff fabric. And I still make some mistakes, but you know, they're much fewer these days, and I get much better quality fabrics, I think, because I'm now more learning more about what I want to look for and what I like. And then the final thing that I use, like I mentioned, is my project planner, which I just have as a Google Doc, and I'll share that template with you. And I use that for planning the make. I have these little wallets that I get from Tesco, which have like a clip over the top to hold the pattern pieces in. And then I put my planner in the front of that, and I clip a sample of my fabric so that I know for the future what I used and what I made if I want to remake that. So yeah, and that's my process. So you can read, like I say, you can read more. I'll put a link to the My Body Model article, and you can see the kind of finished designs for what I've made or what I'm in the process of making. I've got a few cut out and ready to go, and I'm hoping to get those done this weekend. And so I hope that's given you some tips on just the steps to follow and how to think about what you're going to make, and actually being more conscious about your choices and what you're doing. So just to recap then, so there's 7 steps that I go through. The first is to choose the function that I want to make the garments for. The second is to look at the styles that I want to include in my little mini collection. The third is to pick a colour palette. The fourth is to do some preparation, so to refine the collection, order some samples, do some twirls. The fifth is to make a plan. So for each of the garments, I create my project plan and make sure I've got my patterns ready, and you know, I know what fabric I'm going to order. Then the sixth step is to make it. And the seventh step is probably the most important, which is to review your make. And so I hope you find those steps helpful, and that's kind of given you some ideas and inspires you to get started making your own plan if you haven't done that already. So So I'd really love to see what's in your list. And when you do come up with a plan, for those of you that have already got a plan, please share it. I'd love to see what you're making. I'm super nosy when it comes to seeing what other people are doing. So you can share that with me by email, or you can drop it into the Facebook group. And all the details for that will be in the show notes. And so that's it for this week. And thank you so much again for all the support and the fabulous messages. And I'll see you next time.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.